I'm your storyteller, Uncle York. Pam. My eyes have seen everything that's ever happened in New York State. I have a story to tell you today, produced and transcribed by the New York State Department of Commerce, and dedicated to the men and women everywhere through whose courage and enterprise we enjoy our freedom's blessings. I'll bet you never wished you were a fly. Those pesky insects are something most of us don't envy or want to be. But you know, these two-winged critters have got something man was born without. A kind of a sixth sense that keeps them balanced when they're flying. That gives them a sense of their movements in space. Of course, most men never missed having this sixth sense until back in the early 1900s. That was when they began taking off from this solid old planet, Earth, and started trying to defy gravity in flimsy crates called airplanes. It was in the year 1912 when a youngster named Sperry began taking flying lessons at a school in Hammondsport, New York. The school belonged to a fellow named Glenn Curtis, who also had a little plane factory nearby. Well, sir, young Sperry, who everybody called by his nickname, Gyro, took to the air like that fly we were talking about. One summer morning, he came in for a landing, climbed out of the flimsy plane, and walked over to Curtis, who had been watching.
Oh, gosh, Glenn, was that bad? You don't look very happy.
Gyro, you got to keep the nose down better than that. You were rolling all around. One of these days you're going to be daydreaming and forget you've got a plane to fly at all.
That chance of forgetting. If you get absent-minded for 1 second and start admiring the scenery, the first thing you know, you're in a stall.
It's tough, Gyro, I know, but you've
I'm
got to settle
kicking,
down.
But I think so. Could make it easier for the pilot.
Now, wait a minute.
You're so busy just trying to keep the nose on the horizon, hold the right wing up, keep the left wing up. Gosh, I don't know.
You're gadget-happy, kid, just because your father's an inventor. You don't think your daddy could adapt his ship's gyro to an airplane, do you?
Glenn, you've been reading my mind.
Well, Gyro, if we add any more weight to the planes we're building now, we'll never get them off the ground.
Oh, it wouldn't have to be so big. You know, Glenn, I'm going to hit my dad with the question. I'll bet he'll come up with an idea.
Maybe so, but it's hard to imagine those little spinning wheels flying a plane better than a pilot.
I think it could, though. Human beings make too many mistakes. What if a gyro could be designed to stabilize a plane so it could measure the angle of the dip of the nose or wing?
Now, why not?
Maybe it could connect with motors that would automatically control the ailerons or elevators, keep them from dipping in the first place.
You make it sound pretty simple, Gyro.
Aw.
Still, if you can get your dad's mind off ships and get him thinking about...
Oh, I'm going to write him a letter tonight. Maybe I can put a bug in his ear.
Tell a story of a flying machine, funniest kite you've ever seen.
Gyro Sperry was young Lawrence Sperry, the son of Dr. Elmer Sperry, already world famous as the inventor of the ship's gyro compass, and responsible for patents on hundreds of other successful devices. In Brooklyn, at the small factory where he built ship's gyroscopes, Dr. Sperry responded to his son's letter by setting to work on a gyroscope for an airplane. Meanwhile, back at Hammondsport, Glenn Curtis had big news for Gyro.
Gyro, here's something terrific. How'd you like to win 50,000 francs and a lot of honor? Maybe a medal or two.
Oh, what's the
French War Department? Their sponsor airplane.
Uh-huh.
Purse is 50,000 francs.
Is that so?
Now, have you heard anything from your dad yet on that gyro for a plane?
No, but if I know him, he'll have one for us if he puts his mind to it.
Well, pester him, kid. Find out. If it works, we'll install it in one of my planes, and maybe you'll win that purse.
Look! The American aviator's flying toward the judges' stand. They say he has a magic black box in his plane.
Magic? He's a madman. He is standing, too. He has taken his hands off the controls. He is waving his arms about.
The airplane will crash. It has no pilot.
It did not fall on me. It is flying without any pilot.
I told you it was magic.
Yeah, I guess a lot of folks thought it was some kind of magic hanky-panky. But Gyro Sperry was awarded the purse of 50,000 francs because he proved that he had a safe, stabilized airplane thanks to his father's adaptation of the gyroscope. Well, sir, now you'd think an invention like that would be snatched up right away, but something happened right about then. Quick as a summer storm, the First World War blew up, changing a lot of plans. Fighter pilots didn't need stable planes. On the contrary, they wanted them as maneuverable as possible. But young Gyro Sperry didn't lose interest in the possibilities of that little black box. In 1917, he began to work with the Navy on a possible weapon of defense.
Glenn, could you build a plane without any cockpit?
You mean with no place for the pilot?
Yeah. A stabilized plane where you could just set the controls and let her fly a straight course. But she'd have a warhead in the nose.
Are you talking about an aerial torpedo, kid?
Yeah, that's the idea. My father's working with the Navy on it. A plane with no pilot.
Well, I guess we could build one like that, General. Look, tell Dr. Sperry to send me the specifications. But where the dickens would you test out a torpedo like that?
Oh, on Long Island, over the bay. The Navy's interested in the idea, and my father's going to town on it. And I'm just itching to try it out. You see, Commander, the torpedo plane will be catapulted off that track over there.
Yeah.
In some of our tests, she's gone as far as 100 miles. Oh, keep your eye on her. She's due to let go right now.
By George, she takes off just as if she had a pilot. What's her speed?
Oh, about 100. The target is a big sandbar over that way.
What about wind drift? Doesn't that throw her off?
Oh, no. That's all figured into our guidance system. She ought to hit pretty close.
Say, does that flag mark the target?
Yeah, that's it, sir. I hope she hits somewhere near it.
Boy, if we could develop a torpedo like this, we'd knock the Heinies right out of their socks.
Well, there she goes, Commander, into a dive. She hit it! Did you see that?
Boy, oh boy!
That was the first guided missile in the history of the world. Sperry's automatic aerial torpedo, guided by the gyro stabilizer. Yeah, Sperry's little automatic pilot was the ancestor of the complicated brain in today's supersonic rockets, experimental drone aircraft, and guided missiles. Developments in aviation began to come thick and fast after World War I. Other Sperry aids to navigation made possible the flights of Amelia Earhart, Doolittle, and many others. Man, thanks to the gyroscopes developed by Sperry, was at last getting his sixth sense. Well, sir, one day in 1933, practically everybody in America was holding their breath. They were waiting for a fella named Wiley Post to set his plane down at Floyd Bennett Field. He landed safe enough after making the first round-the-world solo flight. The excitement at the airfield was really something, and people all over the country listened to the broadcast.
Congratulations, Mr. Post. I know you must be dying to get some sleep, but everybody wants to know how you kept awake for 7 days.
Well, I could use some sleep right now, but I had a few cat naps. Otherwise, I couldn't have kept going alone. The little black box gets the credit for that.
You mean the automatic pilot, I take it?
Yeah. I'd set the course with the pilot and tie a wrench to my finger, and then I'd doze off for a while. Then when I started to relax, the wrench would slip down and jerk my finger. That would wake me up. I managed to get over 100 catnaps.
Why, that's amazing. How about the weather, Mr. Post?
Well, some of it was pretty bad. I had four times as much bad weather as on the first flight. Boy, without that little box, I never could have made it.
Yeah, Post's little plane, the Winnie Mae, was a real pioneer. Flying alone over oceans and continents on a flyway that's more or less routine today, thanks to the wonderful sixth sense in the little black box. Why, just last year alone, commercial planes took more than 2.5 million passengers across oceans with the help of Sperry navigational equipment.
There were three white gulls a-flying. There were three white gulls a-flying.
Today, 17,000 people work in the Long Island plants of Sperry Gyroscope, the same company which pioneered in aviation more than a half century ago in New York State. 200 different products are made by the skilled hands of these men and women, applying every one of our known sciences. Well, our story today has been mostly about the little black box, the automatic pilot for aircraft. And we haven't had time to talk about the other amazing inventions which began with Dr. Elmer Sperry. But they've been coming out thick and fast from this company's engineers and workers ever since. Wherever ships sail, wherever planes fly, in military or commercial aviation, and wherever messages or television programs are sent through the air, the people at Sperry are helping to make our lives safer, pleasanter, or more profitable. The enterprise and imagination of one man started this industry, but it had to be carried on by a tremendous team of skilled men and women. Their freedom to experiment, to work, to fail or succeed, along with the rest of the aviation industry in New York State, has given us much of the security, the means, and the leisure to enjoy our freedom's blessings.